Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse. You brought too many.
Wednesday evening. Good evening and welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis, and I'm DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it is good to be in the house with you. Soul Tree Radio, proudly brought to you by BASNmuseum.com, BlackAthleteMedia.com, and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BlackAthleteMedia.com. But it has been an interesting week. And in the joy, of course, of celebrating Kansas City doing it again, you got more nonsense. I can never figure in a guy who grew up in a city like New York where the Yankees celebrated almost, it seemed like, every year by divine right. We never had problems. And here you got some motherfucker in Kansas City acting a fool and shooting people up. It's not just Kansas City. We've seen shit like this happen when Detroit was hockey town and they had riots when the Red Wings won. I saw it myself in Vancouver firsthand when the Canucks lost and they tore Robson Street up. It looked like it was the fucking Middle East. This is just fucking insane. Right now I have my colleagues and generals with me, General Reginald Howell, General Gary North Gray, and General Tony McClain with me to discuss the debriefing from Super Bowl 58. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Peace and blessing to the deacons for defense and justice. And T-Mac, keep up the good words of wisdom on Facebook. The inspiration, doing a great job, my friend. You too,
Reggie, that's not me. That's my evil twin. So I can't.
Well, I want to say that Preston has a newsletter, and Big G wrote an article. And G, I hope you saw it, but your newsletter is in Preston Brown article every month.
Thank you.
Good job, G. Did a great job. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, today, D. Rose was fired.
Did that surprise you?
I had
one job. Poor Steve Wilkes.
Hey, you got to make sure a black man got to take the fall.
Exactly. Yeah, one job. Beat that nigga in Kansas City. He didn't get it done. See you later, son. Steve Wilkes,
yep.
Unemployed by San Francisco. But what do you expect from a pink butter
boy? He got to sit out a whole year. Like Eric the Enemy got to sit out a whole year before they get a shot at another job next year. God
there
knows they might not even get a crack at anything.
Yeah. It was Steve Wilkes' fault. It was all Steve Wilkes' fault. He was in the grassy.
Yep.
He was in the grassy knoll in '63. He introduced Yoko to John.
He didn't tell the coach the halftime rules. So that was Steve's fault too. Because
mm-hmm.
your dumbass coach didn't know the overtime rules.
You mean they get the ball too? Shit.
and seriously, this guy needs to be fired, okay? The head coach needs to be fired, right? There's nobody around this.
Now, Gary, there you go messing with my good white boy. You messing with my good white boy. Leave my good white boy alone. There's too much pressure on him.
He had so much pressure, Gary,
he couldn't figure things out.
Gary, how dare you, Gary? Fire a coach that's lost 3 Super Bowls. How dare you?
Exactly.
Mike, can I say it, Mike? The boy ain't shit.
The boy ain't shit. Ain't no doubt about it.
Especially with a 10-point lead.
Not once, said, not twice, but 3 times.
Mm.
You have to go to Mount Scorpio and attend the meeting as the field generals debrief Super Bowl 58.
Pay Jack Prescott how much money? I can't pay the Negro that. What is wrong with y'all? That's for that
go.
Negro.
$28 billion.
I gotta cut the fuel of my helicopter down now. So I gotta pay this Negro this money. I can't get my hoes out together no more. Gotta stay home
there
with the wife because of this Negro is taking my money.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
It's
Jim Jones in reverse.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America, and all your chips and beer. Let's go to press. We're taking them out, Scorpio, where the field generals are debriefing Super Bowl 58. In attendance, General Michael Ingram, General Tony McClain, General Gary Norris Gray, General Eric Settaway, and General Reggie Walston. General Fred Witt soon to appear, possibly, along with General Patrick Flood. But since we have a quorum, let's go to Rex.
General?
Yes, sir.
Permission to become an ensign instead?
T-Mac, there's no time to play small soldier.
Okay. It's just that hat's too big for my head. That's the only thing.
Well, T-Mac,
there's no time to identify yourself as Mike Shanahan. Be who you are.
Absolutely.
Eric coming with shots fired already.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, is that why you said it? Because the brother was the fall guy.
Well, what I would share, if you were an offensive coordinator who coached an overtime game.
Thank you.
Why would you not practice the overtime rules going to
Thank
the game
you.
Where all your players
I,
are going,
I don't
huh?
Know.
What?
I
Duh?
Don't know.
What's
I don't
this overtime rules? What are these overtime rules? Right?
We
so.
Told them on TV.
Blame it on Wilkes. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
T-Mac, you are a five-star general. Hold your position, sir.
All right. Let's go. Remind me to go after Michael's knees like he did with RJ3 later on this evening.
Yes, you do. Well, we should also say that this show is brought to you by the letter Z, or in the case of my wife, Z, since she's Canadian. Now,
all right.
Z being the position on the field.
Oh, hey, Mike, happy Valentine's Day, your beautiful queen. Is this the first Valentine's Day, son?
Second one that we've been able to share together.
Awesome.
Oh, congratulations.
There you go.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Having said
hold on, Mike, I said something. My wife is in the air right now, leaving Vegas, coming back home on Valentine's Day because of the business trip. Needs to say, they got the Chinese celebration going on as well as Valentine's Day, so Vegas is off the hook.
There you go. Oh. Gung Hai Fat Choi to all my Asian brethren and sisters.
So, Reg, this, of course, begs the question, how many tackles did he have on Sunday's game for Kansas City? I guess that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, Hey, that's a good question.
hey, fellas, hey, as you notice, Reggie hasn't stopped giggling since, so we know he got broken off a little something.
I wish she had a flower. 5 o'clock Monday morning, so it was no breaking off. It was like, don't touch me. I'm sleepy. I got to get tired. I got to get rest. And I'm like, oh.
I heard that. Well,
hey, so much for the teddy bear and the strawberry chocolate. I thought it was.
I hear that. Speaking of.
Eat the dog shit. Nigga, you ain't getting shit.
gentlemen, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the San Francisco 49ers play a bunchy film. Now, if I am sitting in, I am protesting that field. I want to go indoors. They didn't do anything.
No.
Are you talking about the practice conditions at UNLV?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And three of the players got injured in that game. I wonder why.
Well,
the real question is
why would you practice on grass when you know you're going to be playing
on
turf?
Is
there
he don't know the rules. Well, they no, exactly. They considered going back to Frisco, which won't work for NFL rules, right? Because you got to be available to the media every day,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they couldn't bounce out. But there was I guess we'll talk about a few things, but kind of interesting how that worked. Well, if you're talking about the leg injuries, Greenlaw, right? Is it Greenlaw, Greenwell, the brother linebacker,
mm-hmm.
Greenlaw? Greenlaw.
He had
the Achilles. And Debo had the hamstring. Kittle and the rest of those dudes were getting their ass kicked. I mean, McCafferty was getting plowed. I mean, he was over there crying his ass off in pain fourth quarter.
He was in so much pain. He got hurt in that Detroit game when he got power-drived and then rubbing his neck.
He banged his head right before that on the sidelines, but prior to that, they were beating him down. He went to the sideline. He was bawling out. He was in so much pain. Mm-hmm. Literally crying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, white boy, welcome to what the brothers go through. Welcome to America, white boy.
Hey, last point, because we're going to let Mike flow. All I heard was Clever Lang. What's your prediction for the fight?
Not Frida Payne, not Herbert Payne, but just plain Payne.
Oh, my God. You said Frida Payne, man?
That was for Mike.
Oh, this Frida Payne. Yeah.
There we go.
Excuse me, Mike.
Eric, I need your help with the CBS. I don't know if y'all saw Jane Kennedy, where they did the old, went back in the
oh, wow. Yeah,
and how they screwed finished. Jane Kennedy. She was up in the helicopter getting report, and they cut the
show. Yeah, way back.
Then Phyllis Jones messed around and kicked her to the curb. And God bless Eric Carl, but Jimmy the Greek, that cracker got exactly what he deserved.
Jimmy the Greek was reborn Sunday in the personage of Tony Romo with his rah-rah for Purdy.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Tony, Gary,
if I may, allow 5 minutes to the floor.
Yes, sir. Floor is yours.
The position on the field is arranged for the flanker. Now, Kansas City's playbook, the flanker's the fastest guy on the field. He may not be the fastest overall, but football speed, he's the fastest guy on the team. The Kansas City Chiefs have a long history with the Z position. You started out with Stone Johnson, who unfortunately died tragically before he got to play. He was from Grambling University, and 33 was retired. No Kansas City Chief ever wears 33 again because of Johnson. Then we have Frank Pitts, number 25. He was their first effective flanker. After him came Gloucester Richardson, number 30.
Run it. Mm-hmm.
Run it.
32 power gap.
Yep.
That's right. Hey, Mike,
keep matriculating the ball downfield.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
After Gloucester, after Gloucester was number 17, Elmo Wright.
Elmo Wright, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Knees up, buddy.
And Otis Taylor, don't forget my main man, Otis Taylor, who should be in the Hall of Fame. Not Mick Michael.
He should be.
That's bullshit.
He should be, but he was not a Z receiver. He was the X-Man. He was the wide end. Anyway, after that was number 80, Tamarik Vanover, who had flashes, along with number 84, Willie Davis, who got off when Joe Montana threw the winning touchdown to him and beat Houston in 1993. We now are left with two significant players, Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah, and Mecole Hardman, number 12. Now, before people found out he could catch, Tyreek Hill used to run from the Z spot and ran those other patterns, the eights, the nines, the long bombs. Then they realized he could play a little bit, and they moved him over and changed his playbook. Mecole Hardman, number 12, is the fastest cheat. He's faster than Cheetah. Unfortunately, he didn't get the same run as Cheetah because Tyreek Hill was able to showcase his skills early. I mentioned last week before the game started to keep your eye out on Mr. Hardman. And sure enough, he showed up big time. He caught three passes, but everything he caught was significant. If Pacheco hadn't fumbled, Kansas City would score early, and the game would not be in doubt.
Yeah.
The other catch
you know, they got the kid from Fayetteville State, CIAA, I think defensive back number 4.
That was right.
And Mike, well, here's the crazy thing with him. He wasn't good enough for the Jets.
That's right.
He got a ring.
Harmon was released by the Jets. And sure enough, when he came back, the first thing that Patrick did, and I love the fact that old age and treachery will defeat youth and skill, but youth and treachery is even worse. And Patrick paid back Scam Francisco in spades with clever play. And they will never admit how smart Patrick Mahomes is, but he really is. He called two plays in the huddle, the last minute of the game. He got downfield. When he was in the huddle, he told his offensive lineman, call your protections out for both plays. Don't waste any time. We're not going to stop the clock, which is exactly what they did. The defense is in zero. Yeah. The defense is in zero coverage. You can't run a zone if you're trying to cover 10 yards of space. So they'll spread out. As Patrick is calling signals, Rice goes in motion. As soon as Rice goes in motion, the safety follows him. The trap is sprung. The next thing you know, all of a sudden, everything runs to the strong side where Kelce is, where he's been double-teamed the last three plays. Patrick rolls out to the right. The right tackle makes a great submarine block. Patrick is wide fucking open. And he throws the ball to Hardman for the easiest catch he'll ever make in his lifetime.
I got a question for Eric.
Jackass
on the sideline decided he want to bump his coach. You being in that profession.
Oh, Chelsea?
To me,
that should be a fine intervention.
I'm just going to say it. That has been, say, T.O.
T.O.
bumping
T.O.
up somebody, any
T.O.
black wide receiver. They would
AB.
Have been demanding that they be thrown out the league. Eric, in your professional opinion, they done kissed and made up, but what should happen to him? Should the organization find him or make a public example out of him?
The best revenge is that he marries Taylor Swift. That'll
yeah.
Fuck.
No,
so she can make a song about him. He ain't
well
good at
I
tried.
Yeah, with 120 million people watching, which is an insane amount of number of people to watch any kind of television event.
Up 100%.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's very difficult to get a crowd like that. When I looked at that, you know, being in sports and competitive and the intimate thing, it, to me, was like much ado about nothing because that shit happens all the time, you know, behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, all the time, right? So when I looked at that, you know, they're going to pay no passion intense. I mean, he bumped the old man. Almost knocked them over, but they had conflicts before. But I kind of rode with Kelsey. Like, MF, don't be taking me out the game.
Yeah.
You know, because the backup tight end got in the way of Pacheco, which caused the fumble. Where if Kelsey's in there as a skilled blocker, why he went off again was Kelsey's not fucking up. He's going to be blocking and getting that guy in the end zone, right? So, you know, to me, when you have that happen, guys bump up on the coach. You're not supposed to make contact. You're supposed to show respect. I didn't really read into it too much, but I agree with you. You know, the brother Jared Bell from USA Today went into a whole dialogue and a whole preamble on how if that had been a brother coach, you know, black athlete, it would have been a crime. It would have been horrible. Now, he wrote all about this. So
right.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that from that standpoint. That's wrong. But there's another intrinsic factor, too. So it's 19 to 16, late fourth, and Patrick's driving the rock downfield, right? We got gremlins. I'm hearing a lot of shuffling and ruffling, right? So Patrick, Patrick's driving down the field. Now, he scrambled, right, out of the pocket, still past the 50, and he did not reach the first down market. They marked it second and eight, right?
Yeah.
On the graphic of the screen where they show the yardage gain and the down in yards, it immediately got covered up with Super Bowl 58 graphic. And then Nance comes back and says, oh, he got the first down. It's first and 10. Bullshit. It's second and eight.
I remember that. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was second and friggin' eight. All of a sudden, Nance came back. Oh, they gave him the first down. First and 10, they gave Mahomes another play. And the graphic, which never covers the down and yardage, all of a sudden got covered over.
They know where the cameras are.
First and 10.
I call shenanigans.
You know, first and that's bullshit. It was second and eight. You can literally watch that a million times and go, oh, he did not get the first down. Mike Shanahan said, what the fuck were y'all watching? What were y'all watching? Or are you writing with the script?
Yep.
Oh, no. Now, here we go. Here we go. Back to the Baltimore Colts and the New York Jets. Oh, my God.
Listen. And let me share this. When you got a few pennies in the game, you're watching every damn down. Hey, man.
Yeah. Where my man Patrick Farrar at? I need Patrick for the betting.
And you go on, it was 139, so we're right there in the fourth quarter. Okay, they put pressure on Mahomes. No one was open. He ran out, and he did not get a first. He got 2 yards, second and eight. All right. They marked it second and eight. I said, okay, sure, you got a couple of yards. At least it's a positive play because he could have got sacked. Next thing you know, Nancy comes, oh, no, it's first and 10. They mark it as a first down.
All of a sudden Jim Nantz became
Jimmy the Greek from the
grave. Well, he became Hank Stram. Oh yeah, you're about to good.
Give me a bigger TV. Put my glasses on.
San Francisco 49ers. Do you have anyone up there in the tower, in the booth,
going
to signal down to you and say,
God,
dude, this ain't the first down. Shanahan throw the damn flag.
What?
Shanahan freezes up again, or he rides with the script. They got a first down. They picked up 10 yards, an extra down, and you don't give that to Mahomes.
Which of course is Steve Wilkes' fault, of course.
It's white man syndrome. Remember Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl where he throws a crossing pattern? He throws a 1 yard pass pattern, and of course he gets intercepted. Now think about what Patrick Mahomes did. Patrick, I said he called two plays down. The first was to cross buck to Pacheco. Went for 4 yards. They line up immediately. Everybody knows what the protections are. The right tackle is focused. He knows what he has to do. He's going to submarine his man. Rice goes into motion, gets the tight end side of the field. They're going to go heavy, strong side. What does Patrick do? Patrick takes two steps, rolls out. He's wide fucking open. He could have walked in with the winning touchdown.
The prime reason Mahomes did not call a timeout at all was because he understood the overtime rules. He had more time than that. That's the difference. He was not on the clock. He was not on the clock just for that overtime because people were thinking, shit, the game's over. He don't call a play. Oh, no. Overtime rules, it'll roll into another quarter.
If somehow McCole Hartman had dropped that ball, there would have been 3 seconds left and it would have had another chance.
They roll into the next quarter.
Exactly.
Kansas City said they practiced the overtime. There was no rush. He had another quarter.
And Mike, the historical precedent for this was the famous ghost to the post, because the Raiders. Because if you remember correctly, the Raiders won that game in the sixth quarter.
Correct.
That's what they did. That's right. But
correct.
Again, I state for Pete Carroll and Darrell Bevell, you dumb fucks. This is what your quarterback should have did. Patrick Mahomes rolled out.
How about give it to Marshawn Lynch?
Run the rock.
He got a great block from his right tackle who submarined the defender. Eric Armstead had a great game, but he was too slow.
He got caught.
It was taking them 3 seconds to get their hands on Mahomes. Patrick only needed two. And McCole Hartman, who I said would be a factor when the game started, turned out to catch the winning touchdown. General Fred did it with me to join the quorum. And General Fred, I got to say, no one will ever say it, but Patrick Mahomes is a classic field general in the sense that he outmaneuvered his opponent and played chess to the opposition's checkers. And good evening.
Good evening. I had the quote pleasure of watching Sid game Sunday in Spanish.
Wait a minute. You watched the game, Professor?
Him and 42 million of his closest friends.
There's a young man who played in that game who lives not too far from me. down the street.
There you go.
That's a kid from Kansas City. What's his name? Elizabeth City or Fayetteville?
Josh Williams.
He's a defensive back, right?
Right. Number two.
Yeah, I knew Professor went up. So he went to Fayetteville, right?
He went to Fayetteville State. The side judge for the game went to 71st High School, which is local. So I had an interest.
Professor, when Southern University did the halftime show, how much people listened to Southern get?
I have no idea. Wasn't it? I thought it was Jackson State. I did not watch the halftime show. I haven't watched the halftime show.
You missed Alicia Keys? Oh, God. No, Professor. You missed Alicia Keys? Oh, God bless.
I don't listen to her on my radio. I mean, she. I don't watch Ave. The only reason I saw Usher doing his striptease is I was flipping back and forth and he still had time left in halftime.
That's right. They brought stripper pose to the Super Bowl.
Halftime is more than one quarter long. So I get you get up and refresh yourself, do what you got to do and come back, maybe even take a nap I've told y'all before, these games are, put on your thinking caps of history. Remember in Super Bowl, I want to say 14 maybe, when it was still a year. Do you remember how Kirk Gowdy, Grody, and the fat dude from L.A., out of sorts. Jackie Smith missed the ball wide open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God bless his heart.
Now, how bad should he feel when the ball skipped to him? They act like the ball, it was a perfect throw by Roger Sutton, setback. But no, the ball skipped on the ground and then skipped over him. It was behind him.
Yeah, the ball was thrown low.
The ball was behind him. The ball was not perfect in nothing, but unless you were marking the ground,
and it was too fast. Mm-hmm. It was too hard to throw.
Bless his heart. He's the tallest man in America right now.
And see, these people have been telling us, these are such great games. Remember, one of those years. It was out of Pittsburgh year. There was a situation where the viewership was way down. And
must have been the Minnesota Vikings game.
Well, I mean, how can you be a fan? How can you be a fan of the Vikings or the Buffalo Bills who have successfully gone back to back to the Super Bowl and lost?
To back.
They have a collective of wins of 0 and 8.
That's right.
Let's look at the key team. Okay, you got Jerry Jones in that team from somewhere in Texas. You got a few others. You got the Carolina Panthers. They've been screwed at least twice.
Seattle's been screwed twice.
Okay, take a look at the one thing that truly means something. What is your viewers? What's the population? What's the local or regional population? And what are the viewerships like in those areas?
Demographics.
The only reason I see they went to the Las Vegas venue is that they went there because they're, this is where the game, the true gamblers are truly taking over, like they did, you know, back in the day with all the other underhanded, you know.
Yeah, the Wells was in there.
think about it. How many games have you watched in the last, what, 5 years? Let's just say in the last 7 years, where these no call happened, but it's obvious. You know, I watched. I've been home sick the last few days, so I've been watching a lot of. My motivation is sit down and watch the old Super Bowl films and watch a couple of other games, college games. And one of the things I noticed was in one of the games against Dallas, I saw the left guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers literally pull a guy down named Randy White, pulled him to the ground because he missed a trap block. So he just reached up and grabbed him and pulled him down. Now, from the angle where he was, at that time there was the umpire, there was the referee, there was at least a side judge on his side.
Yep.
It wasn't nothing called. That fiasco with Jackie Smith wasn't nothing to be called there anyway.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. You know, it amazed me how open he got. But then here we are talking about, I'm sure you should have heard this. Now, I don't know what they were saying. But in the Spanish broadcast, even they said that's jacked up. How did he get away? How did he get that wide open? You know, how did this guy get that wide open? He had the whole side of the end zone to himself. Ooh,
that's what
whatever
they do.
He said.
The referee talked to when it was the New England Patriots against the Giants. And tack, I don't know if y'all saw it, where the ref went up to him and said, "Hey, did you hook him?" He said, "Yeah, that was a bad call. You made a bad call." I'm like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
But I'm still in
because the fix is in, nobody's going to say or do anything about any of it because you have people there. First of all, you got all the talking heads.
Yep.
They're telling you what you just saw, whether you saw it or not.
But who you gonna believe? Me or your lying eyes?
Yeah, exactly. Fix or no fix. I don't usually say stuff like this, but somebody need to shoot Tony Romo at least in the mouth. As stupid as this guy is, it amazes me that he even played football, and he just talks, he rattles on, and he's akin to the clown that's on that used to be on this TV day. And we didn't want to get him to his football. But you got people who should know better.
Thank you.
Then they say some of the things they say, and want you to believe them and get upset when you don't. It's as bad as the politicians we got in that way. You know, how can you besmirch my credibility and integrity? You ain't got to.
Easy. Keep running your mouth easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, come on, we've had a generation. You know, we look when I'm sitting around talking to people in my age group, and we talk about, you know, some of the things that young people miss now. They don't have heroes because nobody knows what a hero is anymore. They don't have mentors.
Amen.
They don't have. Excuse me, leaders, you know, all these other things, because, you know,
I used to live when I grew up. I lived 1.10 miles from my church. From the time I walked off my across my own farm to the road, up the road to the church, there were about 7 or 8 eyes that were most likely on me at some point in time. Wasn't nobody gonna bother me? Wasn't nobody gonna, you know, none of the crazy stuff you have to deal with now. That was my aunt, you know, first I was getting Miss Kane's house. This is an old Southern white lady, descended from some old Beauregard, one of the Beauregard colonels from the Civil War. She's a granddaughter.
Yeah.
She lived next to Aunt Lula, who lived across speaking from Miss Amanda, who lived across from Miss Edith, and Miss Ella B, Miss Gracie, right on up to Come Pauline. At Come Pauline's house, I crossed the county line into Cumberland County, and there's a full view of me, even when the corn is called. Now, I wouldn't want my child to walk from my house, from our property that we had then, across the field to Aunt Lorraine's house. Why? They don't know what to trust. And they've been lied to and lied on and lied about so bad. You know, and the other thing that I've watched several editions of is how the Nazis came to power and how the Nazis maintained power and some other things. And, you know, it's like instant replay. These people have so screwed up what reality is, and they want you to follow them because, as I told this lady the other day, I'm going to vote no matter who is voting. I'm going to vote for somebody or vote against somebody. But I'm sick and tired of old white men running everything.
Yeah.
Now,
amen.
That's not a nice thing to say when you're trying to sell books at a Black History thing. But I gave you the truth. I'm sick and tired of old white men born before World War II out here trying to make decisions on stuff they don't even understand, but they got
and don't want to understand it.
And don't,
most
don't
important.
Care.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Biden. And first thing that come to mind,
Grandpa Moses.
No, don't criticize Grandpa Moses.
He can't walk and chew.
He's a walking time bomb when it comes to just living. I'm sorry.
The vice president's gonna save the day. Just listen to him.
Listen, let me tell you something. If she's not careful, she's gonna end up on a slab. Because
that's an understatement.
She's doing a good job. As good job go with that job. It's just that, you know. Can you imagine? They could hardly stand a black male. Who is apparently heterosexual and all this other stuff, but a female, a Negroette.
Then the question is, what's the alternative?
There you go.
Well, you know what the alternative is, and it shows the insanity of the country. TRUMP.
That's right.
And he, right now, if they go head-to-head, he can't beat Trump.
That's an
he can't steal a message for long enough.
If Trump's on that ballot, in all likelihood he is, you know, with the Supreme Court ruling, Trump in a rock.
And look, Eric, the sister on that, she was asking poignant questions. From an intellectually honest point of view, and they stood there and said, "Damn, They got excited because he said, no, you can't take him off the ballot.
You can run Trump through 5 million criminal cases, his fingerprints
yep.
on every last one of them, and he's still the front runner.
That's right.
Thank
and
you.
The point is, and,
so
and
they
the point
got
is, what's the alternative? Because if you think that what we have now can be worse, wait till
oh,
he gets back in office.
The second round of Trump. It's I mean,
oh,
it's
he's already said
it.
Told
you
what he's going to do.
It's 100% in alignment. Now, I mean, he can make the crazy. I mean, and he knows it. He can make the crazy
yeah.
NATO statements that he made. Hey, I'll let Russia do what the fuck they want. All these statements like that. And they still going to line up for him because they're going to play that voter game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's yeah. gonna, I mean, the best thing the Democrats ever had was to find was to have
indicted.
someone else
he
run against Trump.
Rules.
But right now the orange crush is
yep.
the front runner.
Yep.
Yo, Patrick, how much money was made on that, man, with this year? No, they broke the bank, didn't they?
Yes, they did. In Las Vegas, it was announced that just in Las Vegas, the record was in 1997. It was $885.7 million. They made $140 million on Sunday.
Yeah, easily. That's just what's being reported, right?
Hey, Patrick, one question. Did they pay up on the streaker? And when the streaker, they, of course, they didn't show it on TV, but they had odds on somebody streaking. And I wonder if they paid off on it.
Reggie, I couldn't get my clothes off fast enough, so sorry about that.
Well,
damn it, T-Mac, where is he?
Let me present this to the panels. Let me present this in a way real quick and then bail out. So we talked about, you know, elections and what the potentials are. You know, we're talking about how, again, you know, the immigrant problem in New York and other places, outrageous in terms of how it's also
yep.
moving out the, you know, the natives. We talked about how gun control. I think this Super Bowl will be forever marred with what took place at the parade in Kansas City
yeah.
today.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
You know,
I think the football game pales.
They got two of the shooters. It was three, but, you know, 22 people injured, 11 of those children, one
yes.
killed.
Yes.
Kansas City became this epicenter of the football world. It got shitted on today. With what took place there, and that's predominant. The game's not even a conversation on the global level.
Exactly.
It's just insane. That's not even a – the game's, you know, silly-dilly shit. It's over. It's done. But the after effect, the impact, and, you know, I even heard someone go far as to say these were disgruntled bettors who realized they got hoodwinked by the chief favoritism and the rigging shit. I was like, get the fuck out of here with that. So it's just really terrible.
What kills me, they make Chicago as the city that they like to key on as the quintessential problem up with the country. Tennessee
mm-hmm.
got some crazy people. And
yeah,
in Jacksonville, I was telling Mike, Jacksonville was even worse, which they never talked about.
They had that strange story on that last Kansas City home game where three fans were found frozen in the backyard of
yeah.
someone's
mm-hmm.
house, those Kansas City Chiefs fans, right? You know, and now a few weeks
and
later, again associated mm-hmm. with the Kansas City football team is what took place at Union Square in Kansas City today, which was, you know, not a positive factor. So all these things are tying in. They're not accidental, but it's unfortunate what took place there. But we'll see how it plays out.
Very true.
You know, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, what took place at the parade, I've seen something where Andy Reid and his wife was rushed to safety. Trust me, if he was the target, it'd be a little bit different.
You got that right.
Hey,
oh,
man.
Yeah. There are some people who just don't get it and don't want to get it.
And thank you.
So
Well, you know, mayhem will always be there. You know, when you got lunatics with firearms and high weaponry, right? It's just what it is. You know, when you cluster like that, you're always open to mayhem, you know, with crowds and those type of events. Yet, again, Kansas City's been really dominating that football scene with the draft, with their Super Bowl wins, with the so-called celebrity thing, with all the different fan rush. Then today what took place was, you know, interesting and tragic at the same time.
Let's not fool ourselves. White supremacy, Reggie, white supremacy never takes a day off. That's a good reality. Patrick Mahomes has been in the league 6 years. He has never missed a playoff or postseason. He has three rings, two against San Francisco, and one against my Eagles. I saw Warren Moon win five in a row in Canada, but Patrick Mahomes is the best yet, by far. It don't even come close.
Doug Flutie is the best Canadian quarterback.
Well, I mean, they're going to push the Brady card just based on no matter what. So is Mahomes in the league 7 years?
Definitely true.
Right. Has he been in the league 7 years? Because his first year, Alex Smith was a starter.
Right.
Yeah,
so 6 years.
Six years as a starter.
Yeah. I think he's been in the league seven, right? Because Smith was his first year
starter.
That's right.
It's seven. He's been in the league six as a starter.
Okay. Right. 6 years as a starter. Yep. Correct. All right.
Yep.
Hey, quick question. Because new coach of UCLA football program. How in the heck did that happen? I thought I was
Sean
saying
Foster.
That.
Good dude.
They gave the brother a job.
Sure, good. Deshaun? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
I said, what the hell happened?
I mean, well, that's part of the Deion factor. You know what I mean? In terms
It's
part of the Deion factor. Right? They seen what Sanders, I mean, he's not promoting like, you know, Prime, but he was in that same conference. He's been there for a while, and if you want to attract those recruits, you know, in Southern California, which they have great programs down there. You want someone to intro that can do so, and Deshaun's got the DNA for that because of the local thing. You know,
that's
100%.
Yesterday,
I saw the Big Ten press conference, and that was the guy. I forgot the guy that back to head of athletics, and Deshaun was talking about. He says, "Well, I already know because they wanted to know his recruiting strategy." Because somehow Chip Kelly didn't want to go out recruit as much. Chip Kelly just wanted to coach. Well, Deshaun knows. He said, well, I know.
You can't win without that. You can't win without that.
He said, I know California. I said, we will go out to the parts of the country. And the guy said, I think he's a great, listen to him, I think he's a great choice. Great choice.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, Westwood will always get national recruits because it's Westwood, UCLA. So they always have a national recruiting process no matter what. But if you can recruit in Southern California, the Pac-10, Pac-12, as it was once known, Oregon, even they're all loaded with California players, right? I mean, they're all loaded with SoCal. You cannot win without Southern California players, right? And so you can just stay right there, and you can't. You know, you can stay right there in SoCal. And if you got the right inroads, you can build players because it's talent galore. You know, it's almost Florida-like, right, because Florida has great talent there in the entire state where they can just recruit within the state. Georgia does the same, too, really well in building out those programs. So you had Bryce Young, right? He went to Alabama. He's a Southern California kid, right? You had Marcus Stroud. He's a Southern California kid. He went to Ohio State. Right, so these were Heisman candidates, top quarterbacks that SC and UCLA couldn't garner. Right, so
Eric,
it's
you know
sitting there. Yes,
it's like you know you live in Jersey. If Jersey kept shipping to the ball players,
we talk about that all the time. Rutgers would be the incredible program. Right,
man.
Rutgers can't keep nobody home. Right, you know Rutgers would be. Oh. If you think about all the talent, basketball, football-wise, that leave the state of New Jersey and go elsewhere, it's nonstop. Yeah, Rutgers has never been able to do the homegrown, right? That's been the problem. with Shiano. You know, he's tried to push that.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, those players end up at Notre Dame. They end up at Tennessee.
Yeah.
They end up at SC. They end up at Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of Michigan, they got the brother coaching at Michigan. Patrick, what y'all going to do, man? Y'all going to get a brother up in there or what? What y'all going to do?
They ain't going nowhere.
What
they put together, it ain't no joke.
Who's that, Michigan or Ohio?
Can they repeat?
The package they got to put together, oh, man. I can talk about it another time.
Who are you speaking to, Michigan or Ohio State?
Ohio State, bro.
Okay,
They've been loaded more than I even expected. Because they're coming out.
Well, Chip Kelly doesn't come through on offense.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing. Chip Kelly didn't want to, and that was the problem with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is not a guy that's personal to get involved with
Chip
the aspects
Kelly
of what he's taking coach now.
He don't
all
know
he
what
wants
the
to
fuck
do
is
coach.
Doing.
So back to the Super Bowl real quick with a question. How did Brock Purdy perform, America?
I think he played well.
He just got a head coach that got a brain fart. The head coach don't know what the hell he's doing. He did all right as far as I'm concerned. He did better than Jack Brown.
I'm going to tell you something. They were prepared to make Brock Purdy a superstar if he won that game. They were
It
didn't happen.
He's a great white hope. He was a great white hope.
Yeah.
Because
they would have had a quarterback.
That's true. You got a quarterback that's won three Super Bowls and another quarterback that won MVP. You think they wasn't ready to make something special for him?
As the late Billy Green said, if you want to crown him, crown his ass. Go ahead and crown him. God bless Billy Green.
In the back of my mind, I thought they were going to put McCaffrey over my man from Baltimore. I thought they were going to do that.
I thought they were going to back door.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson got 49 out of 50 votes at number one. He deserved it.
Thank goodness.
Sorry. Better luck next year in terms of getting the MVP and going to the Super Bowl. He didn't get both done. But two MVPs in 5 years, Patrick Mahomes, two MVPs in 5 years. The league at Park Avenue, they don't know what the fuck to do. So if you really want to know about what to do with Brock Purdy, they can't do a blessed thing with Brock Purdy.
It's a wrap. All I can say is the
brother had a different hashtag. I'm proud of the brother with his new cornrow.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. They can make stars. Say, if they can make folks with the Emmy Awards who can't sing, come watch the sing. You know they can do a football player. Come on.
I don't argue with you, Patrick, but I tell you what. The one thing you will not see, the one thing you will not see from all these so-called experts and talking heads and other dickheads, male and female, Patrick Mahomes outplayed Brock Purdy. Patrick Mahomes outplayed Kyle Shanahan. Patrick Mahomes outcoached Steve Wilks. You know, the cheesesteak-eating motherfucker from Kansas City earned his Super Bowl ring because
that
he
barbecue.
Set up plays.
No hostess Twinkies? No Twinkies?
No, all cheesesteaks. Patrick Mahomes he has the whole playbook memorized. You look at the look at the replay. There's less than a minute. Patrick calmly calls two plays in the huddle. Everybody line up. All right, we know who's hat over each guy. Boom. They run the cross buck. Normally it takes 30 to 45 seconds before they reset. They immediately got off the pile and they lined up. The right tackle is focused. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do. Patrick takes two steps to the right toward the out-of-bounds line. McCole Hartman is in a straight line. What's the shortest distance between 2 points, Class? A straight fucking line.
Nine.
He allows the ball to Hartman. It's a touchdown.
All right, all right. All right, so Patrick Mahomes throws for 333 yards at 333 Al Davis Way. They win by three, and the closest player to Mecole Hartman was number 33 for the Niners. So that is what that is.
Ruminati. That is what that is.
And anytime you can take a second and eight and turn it to a first and 10 with 1:39 left in the fourth quarter.
Eric beating that horse to death.
In a second. And I'm following this game because I got some skin in the game, bro. I'm like, yo, Patrick, don't throw that shit away. Don't get sacked. How many yards did he get? Oh, he got 2 yards. Okay, cool. Second and eight. We're in play. All of a sudden, they close that graphic out on the tube where it shows the second and eight track. All of a sudden, it gets covered by Super 58, and Nance comes in. Oh, they gave the first down. It's first and 10. Documented. Easy to look up. And not a fantasy.
Unbelievable.
So we can jump ship. And the beauty about this, everybody finds their own narrative. Those who pay attention, pay attention to the minutiae of details. Those who like the overview, the fanboys, they glamorize this stuff. So I always said, like, when Denver Broncos lost to the Seahawks, right, Denver had the best offense going. Dude, check it out. Denver had the best offense going at that time. Mm-hmm. It was record-breaking, right? They looked nothing like themselves. So those who were Legion of Boomers, they shut them the fuck. It was good legit shit. That was not how Denver played all year at all. No Sean Marino, a Jersey kid, right? He's from Middletown South High School, Patrick, right? No Sean. I know people who know No Sean. He didn't play the second half. That coach kicked an onside kick to start the second half. What part of the strategy is that? That was totally out of temperament how Denver played. If you present that to those who are the Russell Wilsonites, they kicked their ass. Okay, cool. We're right with that. But then the next year, when Wilson throws a one-yard interception, all of a sudden when he does that, it's a conspiracy. Hold the fuck up. What just happened with Denver?
There you go again.
So to punctuate your point, Eric, if Russell Wilson had done the same thing Patrick Mahomes did, if he had rolled out to his right, he could have thrown that pass.
Or ran it?
Straight line or ran it because Patrick was wide open. Even if they don't give the ball to Marshawn, they had a chance to win the game. But Pete Carroll and the fucking Dow Bevel, that cocksucker, they don't know a fucking thing about football. Both of them try to be too cute, and the cuteness cost them.
Thank you.
Mike, real quickly, back to the game point, just keeping everything 100, I will not embellish, but I'll send everyone the videotape and the YouTube highlights and breaking down that play if you're like, I won't embellish that second and eight, now first and 10, any longer than my last drop there. Where Mahomes won the game was with his legs. On the fourth and one play, he took off.
Yes.
Right? That's where he won the game. He won the – I like that last play, but if he doesn't take those scrambles, they don't win. And he just took it on himself to get those 10-yard plays. To me, that's where he won. That was so damn Montana. Montana used to piss me off with that when he was rolling because they'd lock up, and then Montana break off a 15-yard run every time for a first down when it was like a tight game. Mahomes, and that was the rarity that Montana would do because Brady doesn't run like that on those type of plays. But Mahomes took off. Yeah, he's Montana on steroids, right? Game controller, three Super Bowl MVPs, tied with Brady and Montana, with no top flight receiver, and with the team that led the NFL in drops, he wins the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Now, the question is, where's Eric the Enemy going? Because obviously, they talked about how he was so much inspirational in Baltimore.
Maybe Colorado. Maybe he joins Prime.
What?
Well, you know, during the Super Bowl,
he got a bigger payroll now to get coaches.
Reggie, during Super Bowl week, he was at the practice twice.
He was what?
KC.
He had Kansas practice twice.
KC.
So is he a consultant or just coming at volunteering?
He's at it twice. Somebody I know who was reporting who knows. As a matter of fact, it was confirmed by one of the players who was on the on a Zoom call. He said, "Yeah, he was there twice." He said EP was live in Little Teller. He said EP was giving guys the business, and he was there. I don't think he's gonna be in Kansas City.
So what they gonna do? They gonna bring him back or what?
If Spagnuolo's still on payroll, you know, he'll get that.
Yes, indeed.
But the thing, you know, he'll get that gig. But the thing is, you know, you do bring in your older coaches like that, you know, during the dead period. Like, if the enemy's not coaching, it happens a lot, right? They'll visit the team and the other coaches that are affiliated. But Eric Bieniemy's totally out of favor right now. He's not the hot coach. He's out of favor. Kansas City won the Super Bowl without him, right? All right.
Twice.
Right?
All right. Here's the trick. I told Mike this afternoon. I said if the 49ers did win that game, somebody's going to be a scapegoat, and Steve Wilkes is again. He was in Carolina. It was on Sunday.
Yep. Steve Wilkes for the first half. What, KC, what was it, 10-3 at the half?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 10-3.
Right? 10-3?
10-3. He was shutting it down.
When it was 10-3 at the half, he was a football mastermind per Tony Romo and Jim Nantz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got a great team. He had the right team all day long. He lost Greenlaw. That was tough. And he also lost another secondary person. Lost another safety. And then Kelsey just belted number 27. I forgot his name. Whatever his name is, they got the pick early on from Mahomes early in the first half.
Rookie.
Kelsey wiped him out, and he lost him as a safety. That's what put
he
number 33.
He exactly, which is what you're supposed to do.
He fucked that boy up. Yeah, he did. Go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, Patrick, the question right now needs to be asked. When it comes to NFL, are they going to start the diversity program? Because now to get more blacks in high-level situations. Because look at the Raiders. They got damn near all-black management.
It is all-black management. It is.
That's strong black magic right there.
Well, I mean, the demographic, there's a lot of brothers in the front office, right? In Detroit, that brother did a phenomenal job, but they put it on the football coach, right? He's the one that hired Campbell. Yep. He did an outstanding job in the front office there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
there's
brothers,
brother from
Minnesota. There's brothers in the management here that I look for more than on the field because they can make it happen with the coaches or other things like that.
Yes.
Upper management is where it's got to be, you know. Yes. It's got to be in the upper management here.
Andrew Berry from the Browns did a great job.
Correct.
Now the trick is, Reggie, let me follow that up with this. The trick is, you know, because you mentioned it, don't you think everybody around the league don't know it? How successful, the league is a copycat league. If they're successful, there might be a couple of more. If not, well.
Well, I mean, D'Amico Ryan, for some incredible reason, was not Coach of the Year. They gave it to the Cleveland Browns coach, which is he had the offensive player of the year in Stroud. He had the defensive player of the year from Williams, I believe, from Alabama. Yep. So it would have been natural for him to be the coach of the year based on what Houston's done.
Yes.
But remember, if you're going to be the face of the coach of the year and you represent it like D'Amico Ryan, then that starts the trend. So they got clipped that again by going to the Cleveland coach.
And also, the LFA would have said, they said, and I thought D'Amico Ryan was going to win too. they gave him his fast throw because he did it with four different quarterbacks. It's rational, but I think the dynamic of D'Amico Ryan and what I think was – I think D'Amico Ryan should be coaching here. You know, I'm a
based on what Houston's done, and how many coaches have Houston gone through the last year? I mean, they hired Lovey.
100.
They had that one brother for a year. I can't even remember. They hired Lovey, which was some bizarre shit. He's coming off like a 30% winning percentage at Illinois when he got the job. If that wasn't just a filler position, I don't know what was.
Yeah. Yeah. But the niggas we got. But
we see Pittsburgh
they
got rid of their quarterback. So you see how Tomlin is going to survive this year.
The word is
my man Tomlin can't do everything.
You're thinking of two people right now. What I got, one is Russell Wilson.
Right, Russell's one.
That's one. And drafted another brother. That's what I got right now.
Would you bring Russell in, Doug Patrick?
Fuck yeah. I would be
hell
surprised.
Hell yeah, in a second. For
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
He got the tread left on the tires.
Oh, yes.
Gerald Wilson
and this is coach.
You can't refute that. General Wilson has a ring.
Please.
That's instant credibility. As soon as he comes in the huddle, everybody's going to pay attention to what the fuck he has to say. Ain't no doubt about it.
And Mike, you know what else they
look at his wife and say, yeah.
No. He's going to leave your wife home. Because you know he's going to tell
leave
your wife home. It's about one thing. Because Tomlin don't care.
Oh, God.
I don't blame him.
Oh,
Who's got the first pick in the draft? Chicago, right? Chicago's got the first pick in the draft.
The first pick is Chicago, correct?
Detroit's number 32.
I'm
talking about where's the draft going to help this year? In the Detroit? Yeah, I think it's in Detroit this year, ain't it?
I don't think so.
I don't know. It's as simple as a Google search, but I don't have a clue. But Chicago has the overall pick, right?
Yep. All right.
They need to get rid of Justin Fields so Justin can be in Atlanta. I love to see Justin Fields in Atlanta.
Me too. But, you know, it's going to be, as we do annually, we do it. Going back to the old trick, what white boy they're going to promote to try to get to the number one spot? That's what's going to be.
Nick.
See,
so
you ain't wrong. What's coming to the NFL now is a reality check. They realize the best players at any position, are black. And now they got to go through a whole miasma of bullshit trying to make these white guys palatable. Brock Purdy, they can say all the fuck they want to say about him. Does he have a ring? Hell no. Trevor Lawrence?
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He's got flashes, but does he have a ring? Hell no. You know, all the rest of the white boys ring. Joe Burrow? Forget it. None of these white boys that are playing right now. Herbert in San Diego, none of them. They're
knocked
not the
out.
Snow.
He got General Harbaugh back now. Harbaugh going to make a difference. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
And guess what else? Eric, I think that you said, Eric.
Guess who was the
talk of the Senior Bowl last week?
Go ahead.
The Knicks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was he? Wow. Okay, wow.
Yes, indeed. So you know what that means? All the pro coaches were there, you know, and agents were there.
My man from SC, right, who's touted as one or two, but the kid from LSU is intriguing as well.
Yes.
Right? You know?
He's a big boy. He ain't small.
Yeah.
He's 6'4".
Yeah,
two,
I like
200
his, yeah.
He's a big boy.
Exactly. So he's nice.
Washington's smart. Washington better draft him.
Once Mahomes runs the route, right, that's when they took that version of Trey Lance. What's his name? Trey that got picked up by the Niners. Trey Lance and got traded to the Cowboys.
Yep.
He had, you know, Shanahan thought he had the second making of Mahomes. You know how they like look at physical appearances only?
Yeah.
Oh, he looks like Patrick. Man, they do that all the time, 100%. Right? Yeah, who does that 100%. Player remind you of? Oh, he reminds me of a young D. Wade. Nothing like the same, right? We don't see that, but they look at physical makeup and shit. Like the Chattel thing. Trey was not, as we well know, Patrick Mahomes, right? No. And Bryce Young was not Patrick Mahomes. He's a good quarterback, wrong fit for Carolina. Yes. Totally wrong fit for Carolina.
100%. 100%.
And Frank Reich, right?
There is no fit for Carolina.
Well, yeah, exactly. Horrible fit. And so I watched Cam weigh in and go on certain interviews when he said Purdy is, what do you call him again? A system quarterback
game
or something
manager.
Like
game
that?
Game manager.
Okay.
Game manager.
Yeah.
And I watched talking heads. Yeah, go for it. Go for whoever was weighing in, go for it. I'm pushing back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, huh? He's a game manager.
And it was proven,
and,
right?
It's proven.
Yep.
Okay.
And Stephen still apologized to Cam on television. I got
to
apologize. I apologize, Stephen.
Well, he serves his master very well. He got to do what his master tells him to do.
Okay, so the latest hullabaloo about that name you just mentioned was allegedly being in support of Megyn Kelly's comments that there's no place for the black national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
You know, Republicans had to take the shot.
Well, allegedly the talking head said, I have no problem with it. We're too sensitive about the word racism. She was showing her patriotism.
Shit.
Mm. All right.
That's why all the white folks are sitting in their seats, not standing up.
She can show her patriotism from the point of a used Tampax, as far as I'm concerned. Megyn Kelly has no clue. No.
Damn,
worthy. Friends worthy.
Wait.
The wife's not around.
Mike, here's what's worse. Mike,
God.
They gave us $65 million to leave. $65 million to leave in D.C.
Give me a
You got the nerve talking about, I'm a Paul. Oh, here's your check. Good night. Please. You know, it's as simple as talking about black folks and reparations. Stop the bullshit. Stop the panels. Stop these things where they will talk about it. No. Cut the check. Make that shit out the cash. I'll decide what to do with the fucking money. Other than that, shut the fuck up.
Hey, Pat, how much money they make off of Taylor Swift and all the little Taylor Swift's coming to the airport. Taylor Swift is having an uproar. Taylor Swift is up in the booth. I'm like, whatever.
You got to give the National Football one thing. The National Football League does better than any sport.
Marketing.
They know how to pimp and pander at a whole nother level.
They know
that percentage of that person would bring in so many non-football fans.
20 million fans plus. 20 million.
Right, because she had a situation where I seen a statistic that based on her record sales, it had, I can't remember the percentage, so just take this as a raw estimate, I can grab it, that she had like a five, based on record sales and concerts, her impact had like a 10% positive impact to the U.S. economy.
Beyonce's
a pauper compared to Taylor Swift. That's the reality.
Oh,
that.
I agree.
She is. We're talking purely numbers, right? Only numbers, not your fam, not no fanboy crap or fangirl crap. Numbers, man. The data, the data. So the moment this woman is being tracked from Japan to see if she gets to the Super Bowl in time, oh, she landed in L.A. She'll be able to make it on time.
That's right.
And
the last half hour of the game,
the last half hour of the game, they cut away to her 8 times.
They have to. Because
and,
they're tracking.
Did she get a police escort Patrick to the game?
They're tracking. She's got super security at that level, but the point being is you can track social media.
I bet she got a police escort.
You can track social media to see how the trends are pushing it and how the Google sites are pushing it. And if her name is popping up more than Patrick Mahomes and people are tuning in just to get their little glimpse of that to live this fairy tale thing about her and the NFL superstar bullshit, then they're going to push that needle and draw that crowd. Plus, it's free TV. This is not cable.
Yeah.
This is not ESPN.
Yeah.
This is not paid television. Mm-hmm. This is network television. So anyone can chime in. And then with the streaming services, where you can just literally click in on CBS Sports, Paramount Pictures, which covers CBS Sports, you get a whole nectar of visuals. That's what's driving the needle. That's what's pushing the numbers to what they are. And a lot of that was driven in the personage of Taylor Swift, even though she didn't play a down.
That's right.
I ain't mad at her. Hey,
The numbers marketing-wise, she increased the revenue of that game. 14%.
Yes, she did.
Do you know how
that is? Roger Goodell was shaking hands and hugging her. Said, thank you for coming.
Roger Goodell was hoping he could get 30 more cutaways of her if he had his way.
Thank you. He only got 12. He only got 12,
that's
but that's
it.
Okay.
That's all he needed.
And anytime Roger goes at the press conference and says, well, we enjoy her interest and the fans that draw the interest in her.
Exactly.
He knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
Read between the lines. Educate us.
No,
what does that mean, read between the lines, Patrick?
Well, I'll tell you what. The moment Roger Goodell makes that statement, he's already wired his down payment for his cottage in Monaco.
There you go.
He's like, shit, I got my down payment for the cottage in Monaco. Keep coming, Taylor. I mean, you want the diversity, but remember, she just left Japan on a crazy 4-day tour. How much does the Japanese audience want to continue on? Follow her to Vegas. Come on, man. You know, and then it was a tragic event that took place that didn't get to work. There's this top banker from Nigeria that created these banks in Africa, the kind of Africa up to like the 20 billion recesses. Totally power move, was building his own university for all youth across continent from finance. He was killed in a helicopter crash on his way to the Super Bowl, his wife and his daughter in the Mojave Desert. All right.
What?
But he was a big football
fan. I didn't hear
about that. Yeah, his last, man, I'm going to get the right name before I went, but he was the banking magnate. He created a super network of banks, creating university systems, created a great financial arm, $20 billion in release and assets.
You say he was killed on the way trying to get to the game.
He was in a helicopter crash, a.k.a. like a Kobe helicopter crash.
Something don't sound right here.
You already know the deal. His last name was Wigwe, W-I-G-W-E. Of course, they kept him to Lolo. Brilliant brother, brilliant systems, brilliant, incredible. I have a lot of contacts on the continent who talk about certain things like that. And, yeah, he was a big football
fan. The whole family got wiped out.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. And the brother was doing work.
Yeah.
He started investing with a university, a.k.a. Timbuktu Mali style, for the continent, not just for Nigeria, but for the entire continent. That's where he was putting his money up with.
That will get
you
in trouble.
Somebody took a
look
and took him out.
You hear what I'm saying? Horrible.
But
he was a big football fan. Chopped the wind out in the Mojave. Nothing nice when that happens.
Yeah,
okay.
They got helicopter problems.
Yeah,
right.
You hear what I'm saying? I'll send a link out, but you can look it up. You know, African banker, Google something like African banker helicopter crash on the way to the Super Bowl, and read the bio. Incredible brother, man, making super waves.
And here's a trick now.
God bless his soul.
Here's a trick to follow up with Taylor Swift. This is where it connected dots. With all that we said about her, with the impact of the game Sunday,
that he went to from Japan back to the United States. You don't think
correct,
from Japan
correct.
Or watching the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Man, I mean, if you have a teenage girl who's a Taylor Swift fan, oh, she's going to be at the Super Bowl, and that's the coverage they get. They're watching just to get that glimpse or to see her boyfriend play. Watch her boyfriend play.
And Patrick, they had her down there with the coaches and the family. How in the hell should she get through the line? Your boy Kevin Hart can do that when Philly is there.
Because
let me slip this in on real quick on the last Taylor Swift thing. You know, Kobe Bryant, main man Kobe, rest in power. You know, there's interviews out there, but he literally, because, you know, Kobe was all, you know, psychotic in a way about improving and self-development, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Kobe, you know, like, he wants to be better than he was 5 seconds ago, right? And we'll try to do that, actually in action, not just talk. But he said Taylor Swift. He tells people, he's like, yo, I studied Taylor Swift and her business style, how she operates, and his word for her, being who he was, because he has that Mamba mindset, was she's a killer. And her business machination, how she goes about certain things, how she's structured financially. But there's very few people in the entertainment field that can ever have a 10% positive impact to the U.S. economy.
I have one question to ask. Thank you, Kanye West, for your ignorant comments some years ago when Beyonce should have won. His
answer
went down and she done went up. Have we not forgotten
another,
that one?
Follow what you, Alan, follow what you just said. Right now, I know it is because I know how these colleges work, particularly when it comes to sports management and curriculums. They're going to have a course on Taylor Swift's impact on the NFL, and it's going to be a course for at least two or three colleges. Maybe, I know it's going to happen. Someplace like Harvard, I know it's going to happen.
The analytics.
Yeah, man. It's going to be copied by other schools to where it can be applicable to marketing all across the lane, whether it's sports or whatever. They're doing it right now. I know they are.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick, I got
to be made in them hills.
You got to pay attention. Pay attention to the branch that is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick goes up to the line. He's got Kelsey out there. Everybody in the stadium, half of them are looking at Kelsey, thinking he's going to go to
him. Yes.
Taylor Smith is screaming, throw that ball to my baby. And everybody else is all going back to him because they think somehow San Francisco is going to stop it. And Patrick Cooley takes two steps to the right and tosses a soft toss to Hartman. And he does that because the right tackle buries the defender. He's wide open. Patrick could have walked in backwards, buck naked in a bow tie, and scored the winning touchdown. That's how open he was. He outsmarted Shanahan. Forget him.
And Mike, he's very brilliant.
Yeah, he's a very brilliant, calm natured person, and there's no pressure for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he sees the field in 12 dimensions when everyone sees it in 3.
Yeah,
right.
And did you see what they tried to say? Well, you know, his brother is a drunk, and he got himself in trouble. How would this affect Patrick? Patrick's like, man, fuck him.
Patrick defends everybody too. He's got the right nomenclature. He's got the real skill set. What is not given the credit for someone like Swift, which Kobe was talking about, which not given credit for someone like Mahomes, is the acumen, how their left right brain hemispheres can actualize things in real time. That's where you can't compete with a person like that who matches it with the physical skills. When you can take that intellect and download that into your physiology and execute it in real time, throw those different arm motions back. It's all preternatural to him. It's easy for him because he already has those things embedded within his DNA. That's who he is.
Right. Quick question. What impact did Jane Kennedy have? So when Thomas Hollywood Henderson said all the black players was really supporting her when she got the shaft. Historically,
what did she do? Let me tell you about this.
Oh, there we
Jane Kennedy. Jane Kennedy had an impact on black Jewishship that was positive measure that folks were thinking about it today. And the reason why I know it because Jane Kennedy is the second cousin of my frat brother who worked since our episodes passed. And he gave me the impact.
Wasn't she Miss California? In the beauty pageant? She was Miss California, wasn't she?
I think she was more than that. Miss Black, too.
No, I'm talking about the regular beauty pageant. I think she was Miss California.
She won a beauty contest in Ohio. That's point of matter of fact, she came to campus one time when I just started school. Yeah, and one of the few people you see at that time, she looked better in person than on the screen. And she didn't have a lot of makeup on. But her impact was phenomenal. When she messed up, her husband got crazy and went stupid, but that's another story.
Yeah. Leon,
whoa, back up. Hold on.
Leon Isaac.
Say that again, Patrick. I missed that one. Then what now, Patrick?
Her husband thought because she made it, he made it. And I'll leave it at that.
Leon made that raggedy boxing movie that was no
Penitentiary.
Good.
Penitentiary. Yeah. Too sweet. You're talking about
the boxing movie.
You know
Too
what I'm
sweet,
talking about. Yeah.
Half dead. You know what I mean? Seldom seen. All them brothers.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Damn. serious. Damn. Don't hold back next time. Damn, man. Don't hold back.
Motherfucker told that dude, get it fixed.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, don't forget about
Jim the Greek on line two. Jim the Greek on line two.
Don't forget about the brother. Don't forget about the brother half, Dad.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Well, her impact on CBS was phenomenal.
It messed up
the boy in mind, Rich Musburger. He said he smiled, but he didn't like it that much. But that's another story. I can go.
Real quickly,
Brent and the brother had to whoop Jim the Greek's ass in the restaurant, and they've been drinking.
Now, real quickly, what got Brent Musburger's game day career going is when he watched Jane Kennedy walk away from him, and he said, "We're looking live."
Look at that ass. Looking live in that ass. Got a Gail King ass.
Oh, my God. We are looking live.
Take a shot at Gail King's ass.
Irv, back a little bit.
Before we look live for the last time tonight, we have some engaging discourse. We recognize General Mahomes, full 5 stars, won it in battle, won all the praises and all the accolades. He deserves it. Not only is he good, he's smart too. And he used full power to defeat his opponent. More power to Patrick Mahomes. Rise up. Meanwhile, Reggie, set it off. Reggie,
must have got a sandwich.
Can you hear me, Mike?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, I apologize. I'm on the road coming from Fredericksburg. You know, we lost a couple of giants. One being Joe Madison, the Black Eagle.
Yes, it does.
And with
the
election, that hurt my heart because him and a lot of people like Dick Gregory were out there, and my man George, that was from Alabama, last name escapes me. But when we had great wars like this and the elections coming up, I don't know where the motivation is going to come from, because the alternative to 45 has been sleep at the wheel. And I'm getting real worried now because I see the vitriol on the other side Foundation, we're going to take our country back, and they know how to strategize with the Heritage Foundation. So I'm just saying that somebody better wake the fuck up. They better wake the fuck up because we're going to fascism, and we might have communism. And a light note, Coach Dean of Virginia State made his transition a couple of weeks ago. But he was a hell of a basketball coach. And we just want to say peace and blessing to him and his family.
I say, well said, Reggie. Patrick.
And speaking of impact on sports, I'm reading and I'm trying to get, matter of fact, I'm going to talk to somebody on Friday concerning this pact between the Big Ten and SEC for the college football playoffs. They're going to restructure some things, and I'm trying to figure out. Well, first of all, the money, where the money's going.
They're gonna restructure
now,
that
how,
money.
there it is, for the Big Ten and the SEC, and also ESPN. Just re-upped their signature on this pact for TV, where the championship game is going to be on TV. But all that leads to one thing. I'm watching what the 18-team Big Ten league is going to be next year. Of course, it's going to trickle down to every league, whether it be the Pac-10, the Big 12, or even HBCU schools. It's going to impact on that every way possible. So I'm looking out for that. Good time.
It's going to be a good watching. The money has got to flow. The cash must flow. And they won't stop now. They'll just get greedier and greedier and greedier. Professor.
I was trying to get over that big word that Reggie used. But anyway, let me start by...
What word was that?
I think you said egregious or something. And I know.
There you go.
Whatever it was, anyway. What you said about Coach Dean.
Yes, sir.
You know, he was a class act. He's one of the last of the true old school coaches. I remember calling him names when I was in school, called him names after I was in school, and sat down and talked with him one day. I kind of stopped calling him names, but you know that's how family works. And he produced not only a lot of great ball players, he also produced a lot of great young men and young ladies because at HBCU, because of the way things work, he taught classes that had men and women. So, you know, he's a great loss to the family all around. And
yes, sir.
The other thing I want to do is congratulate the CIAA for at least getting their streaming process workable.
Good.
I watched the game. I watched a game today, and I'm going to watch one tonight. Just go to their page, click on the when they say live or open, and you're good to go. But this time, 2 weeks from now, I probably won't be calling in because I will be at the CIAA, which starts on week Monday.
All right.
You know, stay tuned.
Enjoy.
And BMOR.
Just
be careful up there in BMOR, Professor. Be careful.
The CIA tournament.
Yeah.
Created by the father of the CIA tournament, John McGlynn.
Yes, sir.
And the house. And there's so much left to be told there. And I got a speaking engagement next Thursday, and I was talking to the people and they said, "Well, you got 15 minutes." I said, "Well, 15 minutes. I probably won't have to read about that." They said, "No, they won't detail. Okay, it's going to take more than 15 minutes, so we'll see what works out." But, you know, we still, you know, as I always say, we still got to tell our own story. Working, getting ready to get back on some stuff, on tasks and stuff now. So be watching on Facebook, I'm going to try. I've got an experiment I'm going to try in the next couple of days to see how it works.
We will. We will, for real, with that. Eric?
Yes, thank you. So this is called, you know, Black History Month. You know, we always know you can't fit that. It's a leap year, right? So we get 29 days. We get an extra day this year to embellish. But we'll just take that as an honorarium. So my little blurb is just a little, you know, history that's not commonly talked about. So Abe Saperstein, who created the Harlem Globetrotters, right? You know, he was out of Chicago, but Harlem was considered very black then. So obviously we know the impact of the Harlem Globetrotters. He started that barnstorming tour. So what's not commonly known about Saperstein as well, he, and this is not credit to him, but he created the American Basketball League, which is where, you know, Coach McLinden coached the Cleveland Pipers, where Steinbrenner was the coach.
Yeah.
Most people didn't know about that American Basketball League, that they were the first ones to have the three-point shot. So they invoked three-point shooting in that league from 60 to 63 when it was in its existence. And so Saperstein hooked up with Jesse Owens in the late 40s and tried to create something called the West Coast Negro Baseball Association. And it was an attempt to create a Negro League competitor on the West Coast, right? It was organized by him and Jesse Owens to create opportunities for black players on the West Coast, but only lasted 1 year. So they called their team in Seattle, your own stomping ground, Mike. So they called the team the Seattle Steelheads, right?
That's right.
And they were 1-16 to complete. And so the Steelheads weren't a new team. It was actually the Harlem Globetrotters that filled it, the roster of that baseball team in that 1 year. So the Harlem Globetrotters did that. The Steelheads was named after a local trout in Seattle. So Jesse Owens, Saperstein put together a league, lasted for a year, you know, financing tough, especially in that era.
Yep.
They had the courage to do it. And they fielded the first team, the Seattle Steelheads, which was made up 100% of the Globetrotters. So all them brothers that were playing, they put on baseball uniforms to get ready to get that going. This is what brothers was doing. Yes, go ahead.
I saw some uniforms of Seattle Steelers about 2 weeks ago. I was wondering what they
Interesting. were. Interesting. Yeah, that was all originated by Jesse Owens and Saperstein. They were trying to develop a league for the brothers to get down.
Yeah.
This is our history. We were never meant to just be players. I always talk upper management.
Yes.
I always talk ownership, coaching.
Yes.
You can last forever in those careers. Players, you're going to run out no matter who you are. But here's Jesse Owens investing his time with the brothers, with Saperstein, to put them together for the brothers. All right, that's the true history. Mm. Just wanted to share that. More history blurbs if I continue to make it in February with some little known facts about our accomplishments here.
I like that. I love that. You got to see more than that. You know, it's an extra day, which means there's an extra way that we can tell our own stories.
Gary. Well, I'd like to see Cam Newton come back. I needed a couple of interviews this week. It's very interesting.
Everybody else playing, why not?
So what I mean is, Cam Newton addressed the Brock Purdy issue. What I mean is this. They call Purdy a game manager, right?
Yeah.
Cam Newton said, no. That's not it. Cam Newton explained A, B, C, D. What Purdy was doing.
Yeah.
And the media said, what are you talking about? Now, we should take care of this place, right? Why? Because he played the game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, it's become a big debate. Whether Purdy is a game manager or not.
Yeah.
Cam Newton said one thing at the end of the interview. I like what he said. He said Purdy has to become a team leader. There is no team leader in San Francisco. There is none.
They can't
that's
even spell overtime,
that's
Gary.
One reason why they lost that Satan. Because there is no team leader.
Well
said.
I can appreciate that, Gary, but Brock Purdy lost that game because Patrick Mahomes was better.
I knew that, but what Gary was saying was, stop misnaming his brother, or his young quarterback, and give him time.
No,
the media was going to be Superman.
It still comes down to Shanahan, right? And I'm so glad that it comes down to Shanahan every single time. And I'm so glad that Mahomes destroyed that father and son Super Bowl win narrative with him and his daddy.
You.
I'm so glad he destroyed that shit from happening. I'm out.
That's exactly right.
We'll be doing special ladies' names. A to Z.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Begging from A to Z. We like that.
And you
going to
start with Aretha.
Gary, are you going to invite Shanahan to do a review?
Hell no.
There you go. From Aretha to Zalima. I like that. Anyway, my brothers, it has been most fun. And I did this on the day I hate. I can't stand Valentine's Day. It's probably the most manufactured holiday at all of them. Go get that stale chocolate. Get that jewelry. Get what you got to get. Anything to stay out the doghouse. Because, you know, if you ain't coming in with nothing at all, you're going to end up with a doghouse.
No problems. You got problems.
So, exactly. Take out the alcohol, milk bone, whatever it is you got to chew on, because that's going to be your meal. And the
what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it.
But we're all around the same age. So we understand.
Right.
The love that was generated by our partners and what inspired that could be just sitting next to her at school, could be sitting in the lunchroom and she spotted out the corner of your eye. You know, we indulge in Valentine's Day. We indulge in the Quiet Storm and all those things and the DJs who want to push the love thing because they know it's what we need to connect to stay connected to what we are. They praise black love because we praise it. We talk about these things. We tell the DJs, play these songs for our queens. We love them. And my queen just happens to be from outer space. She's an amazing woman. I didn't think I'd ever find her again, but I found her. And whenever you hear something that you love, it's always got to be the chorus that gets you the right way. And every time I think about a song that immediately grabs my conscience, I think this.
But alright.
Hey, Mike, man, I'm glad to see you're in love, brother. My goodness gracious, man. I'm hearing my man Percy. When a man loves a woman, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that, my brother. God bless all y'all. Peace out, fam.
Peace out. Yeah.
Thank you.